Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, as we study the name Elohim. And what a wonderful study it's been. We've studied the last few weeks the significance of a name. And God reveals to us in the Bible here in Genesis 1:1, and we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture tonight. But God wants us, as He reveals various names of God in the Bible, it reveals characteristics and truths about the God we get to know, the God we worship, and the God who has redeemed us. As you come to the Scriptures tonight, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Often your first impression is the most lasting, and I don't know what issues are facing you this evening. It could be issues of a heart, a home, health, finances, a future, or even a question of your faith. But if we meet God as Elohim, it changes our attitude toward those issues as we find in the beginning God. As we think that God could have used any name in the opening verse of the Bible, but He decides to use the name Elohim. Why? Well, the question is, and some questions are, what are the lasting impressions He wants us to have about Him? Why did He, the first word of His name, that first name that He reveals is Elohim? We're going to talk about that this evening. It's a marvelous study, and I have to say it ties in so well with the building. As I've mentioned, and our church people, our church members and attenders, as they've heard, just what God has done to allow us to even do this project is absolutely impossible with man, but totally with God, totally able to be with God. And the work and the speed with which stuff was done is none, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I never would have thought. My wife and I were just talking here recently. As I think about God, I'm telling you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, it is the richest, most blessed gift you could ever have. And there are many people that we meet in our society, our community, that are looking for the answers that we readily have available through Jesus Christ. And with that, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, Lord, I thank You for this evening. Our Father, I thank You for being so dear and so precious to us. Lord, I pray that You just encourage our hearts tonight as we once again open up Your precious book. And Lord, You stir our hearts to know You more. Father, I'm just a vessel, and Lord, I pray that You'd speak through me. I need Your help tonight. God, I thank You for loving us. Thank You for dying. Thank You for the gift of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You that You are all I need. And so, Lord, I just ask tonight that our hearts would be once again humbled and sensitive to hear Your word and respond as Your Spirit convicts and directs and encourages us. God, You take over and we'll follow You. I love You, Jesus. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. As we look at Elohim here, He is all you need. There's different than other names of God. The idea here of plural is a plural name of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, revealed here in the very first verse of the entire Bible. The very first truth of God being one, but many, the Trinity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Again, you find this idea of the Trinity here in the very first chapter and first few verses. We find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, they see the image of God being as a human. Verse 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." If you think about this, the physical needs, what are some... You know, some religions might need many, many gods, polytheistic, many gods to fulfill all their different needs. But understand this, Elohim meets every one of our needs. As a ruler, as a father, he provides a judge, a justifier, as a son or as a redeemer. He broken rules, when we've broken it, He redeems us unto Himself. And And when we need that encouragement and strength, His Spirit enables us and encourages us and strengthens us to carry out what we've been called to do. Tonight I ask the question, what is your need? It's simply a way, as we have our needs in our lives and troubles and trials come in our lives, these are the very things that show us that I need to look to God and I absolutely need Him. When you know Elohim, when you know God, you get to know Him, and then I stay with Him so I can get further instructions on how to live life. Then find the very first thing here in the beginning, God created. He has created all things, something from nothing, and so He has all you and I need. He controls all things. I'd like you to look with me in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Using some notes here on a book called The First Person by Dr. Lehman Strauss. But just on this idea of studying of the names and in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. A little tea here to soothe the throat. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and notice with me what it says here, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Think about this, that He controls all things. When trials and troubles and struggles are happening, we think everything's out of control. We think I've got to fix the problem. I think that's what all of us many times think. But He's saying, listen, I control it all, and these problems are a means of humbling you to bring you to the place to realize that I'm still in control. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You have something, nothing from something, and then He culminates all things. There's going to come a time where everything, the end of the book, is finally revealed. We see it in the Scriptures. Thankfully, God gives us the end of the book, but He'll culminate all of the sin, all of the sorrow that we find will eventually become a new heaven and a new earth, and Christian, we're going to get to spend forever with Him. I want to ask you tonight, there's many things that you and I don't have that we wish we did have. Now, can you think of anything that God doesn't have? We can know this up here in our mind, but in our hearts, in our emotions, and in our actions, so oftentimes we believe there's something that God doesn't have. You said, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, the fact is of how I respond to circumstances is a revelation of whether I believe God has all that I need. How much of what you need does God have? The simple answer to that, God has everything that I need. I'd like you to look with me at Psalm 25, 1. Several events happened this week, and I was starting to get a little overwhelmed, and I just had to step back and say, no. I know Satan likes to get us discouraged. He likes to bring some difficulties to get us to worry and fret and all of these things. And I just need to simply take these burdens to the Lord. Now, it's easier said than done. And my mind at first was wanting to go down that path, but I realized when I go down that path of all that worry and all that frustration, all that irritation, how's all this happening, right? The very thing that I need, I'm rejecting, with the thinking that I can somehow remedy the situation when it's in fact impossible. Psalm 25, 1, here's a promise. Where do I turn? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. It's not lifting up just my mind that there's a God in heaven. I'm not just giving a mental or intellectual assent or intellectual acknowledgement that there's God. It's beyond that. It's my soul, the seat of my heart, my mind, my emotions, my will, and I lift it up to Him saying, I need help. Because you're the creator. And look with me at Psalm 9:10. Psalm chapter 9, Psalm 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He says, them that know thy name. It's very important, my friend, that we know God's name. Not only is He all I need, but He is doing all I need done. You know what I was thinking many times as I think about this church? I looked at the state of this building, and for 7 years that I've been here, June 18th, actually, yesterday was 7 years of having been here at this church, yesterday. And I would have thought so many times, oh, this building is so ugly. Oh, when are we going to be able to, I will never be able to change this building. I got to tell you. But there's some things that God had to do in my own heart before He was willing to say, okay, I'll change the building. If God is doing all I need done, then why do I have needs? The bigger need that I need is Him, the one who created all, Elohim. The idea of to make something strong or secure by a pledge, it's a strong one or making covenant one. And what is the pledge that God makes with us? I'd like you to look with me at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I hope this is encouraging your heart tonight. It sure does enrich and bless my heart as I think about the blessedness that we have as Christians before an almighty, holy God. There's so many people that you meet on the streets. I hope I've done enough that God will accept me in heaven. I hope this prayer will work. I hope. But hopes and dreams that are laid at the feet of a God that is not the God of the Bible. It is a God of the human making. Sure, people understand that there is a God of the Bible, but they don't know Him. But I'm telling you, the God of the Bible makes a pledge and a promise to those who are His own. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but what does it say? My God, He's yours, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There is nothing that God does not have in His bank of heaven that He cannot supply. He says, all your need. Now there's times we think, I need this, only to realize I don't need it. And when we know God as our Elohim, our Creator, we realize He is doing all that needs to be done and done right now. Because the subject of this pledge is all your need. We all have needs. I need air. God provides it. We need relationships. God provides it. Human relationship. God provides it. I need some finances for food, or I need food. God provides it as long as He wants me to have food. Health, as long as He wants me to have good health, God provides it. Everything that I need, God provides. You know what also God provides? Hardships. He allows them because I need them. Because those hardships make me and keep me to have eyes set upon Him, to realize that I am not self-sufficient. The security of this promise of the God, of the Creator God, the Elohim, of this pledge is we find here in Philippians 4:19. My God, this is security. He's mine. He's yours if you've accepted Christ. You can't lose Him.
Now I want to ask you a question. When God says, I will, or says, my God shall supply all your need, when he makes that statement, does he have a co-signer? Because if he defaults, who is he going to back up to? The answer to that is there is no co-signer, because I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. God doesn't need a co-signer. We might have a co-signer because someone's saying, well, I don't think there is a likelihood or a statistically probable that this person could default on their payments, and so we need to have someone that can guarantee that we are going to get our money. That's why you would have a co-signer. Because they don't have enough credit, they haven't had enough proof that they will provide the funds. Now, we can look at it and say, well, they've got the funds here based upon their income, but we're not positive that they won't default or that they won't fail to make payments and therein cause problems. So the pledge we find here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is, my God, but coming here to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 6, welcome. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. What is God saying? He says, take it to the bank. When I give you my word, it is a done deal. There's something that we need in this day. We need men and women who, when they say something, they follow through with it. They're true to their word. I want someone, when God makes a promise to us, he doesn't recoil. He doesn't say, oh, well, you made me mad. I'm not going to do it. When God makes a promise, he follows through with it. Just as you and I should do that. When I make a promise, I should follow through with it. There's times I'll make a statement to my daughter, and I forget that I've made that statement. She'll remind me. She's pretty good at that. Or my wife will remind me. And then I said, you know what? I made that promise. I must fulfill my promise. The security of the pledge that he says here in Hebrews 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says, all that you need, I will provide. Now, how do I get to the place where I am enjoying what he is doing to meet my needs? What God's desire is that relationship. As we near to the heart of God, as we sang that song here just a little bit ago, but I must line up with him, cooperate with him, get that close relationship with God. There's a difference in being apathetic. Oh, well, it'll happen, right? Whatever, everything's bad, and cooperating. An aggressive cooperation. I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven that pursues every one of us and wants a close relationship with us. He doesn't want us just going through the motions of religion. He doesn't want us just going through all these prayers and all these things without a heart for him. Because all day long, I could tell my wife, I love you, but I could say it in such a way, she's like, I don't know. And I'm telling you that God wants our hearts. When we meet God as Elohim, that in the beginning God created, there is a God that made us in his image because he wants that personal relationship with us more. And then we come back to Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And understand, there are some of you here, many of you here, that if someone were to mention your name, they said, if so-and-so said it, it's a done deal. They know you. You say it, it's done. With all of your energy, if you make a statement, you're going to fulfill what you've said. Now, how do we experience God as Elohim? Especially when we're going through those very difficult times of life. I'd like you to look with me at Genesis chapter 22. You want to talk about a difficult circumstance here. And Abraham is allowed to be put to the test in one of the ultimate tests of life. And I'm telling you, these trials of life and difficulties that we go through when others are against you, people badmouth you, and all these things happen. It's easy to want to throw in the towel and say, God isn't meeting my needs. Can I tell you, through the years, as I've been here just coming on, or just over 7 years, yesterday was 7 years here at this church, as I mentioned. There have been times I said, Lord, why do I have to go through this? But can I tell you, through those times, one of the things that I realized, and my wife realized, one of the things those difficulties did is they drew my wife and I together, but number two, they allowed us to see that when I am broken, that I have a place that I can go for sweet retreat. If you can genuinely say or agree that God is all you need, God has all I need, and God is doing all I need done. Now, when you make those statements, I guarantee you there's going to come a time where you're tested on it. God doesn't want us just to intellectually accept who He is. He doesn't want to, or have you put your life under the authority of that truth. God's desire, He says, listen, will you trust me? There's times, my daughter, I'll take her to a hotel, and she likes to go to the pool, and we go there when no one else is there. And, you know, I'll say, jump, and she's like, oh, I'm not jumping. I'm like, jump. When she was little, she would jump. She's gotten older, and now the fear sets in. She's like, I'm not jumping. I'm like, I promise you, Daddy will catch you. She won't jump. But our confession is tested. And God brings Abraham to a crossroads in his life. The test is really, am I really your Elohim? Am I really the God that will provide all you need? Not your wants, but your needs. You think about the test of satisfaction. So many people are looking to just be satisfied, content. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, we'll be in this passage of Scripture here a little bit this evening. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now I want to say, how much does God have to do in your life to get you to pay attention to Him? Are you listening for Him? And God's going to get your attention. Now, you have a choice. I don't want to listen, or I do want to listen. When I was younger, if my parents were giving me instructions and I chose not to listen, it was a painful experience. They were pretty persuasive at getting my attention. I was talking about last night, I was at fire practice as a volunteer or auxiliary firefighter, and we were talking about some of the things. They're like, oh, you know, my parents did this to me, and my parents did this, and they their parents can be, you know, and I was thinking, you know, my parents are pretty persuasive. They wanted my attention. But the question is, are we listening when God's trying to get our attention? These hard times in life. Notice with me something that God does. Verse 2 of Genesis chapter 22. What does God ask Abraham? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I got to tell you, that very request is, who do you love the most? Who do you spend your time and your thoughts on? Man, I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love them dearly. And this request, you're thinking, why is God doing this? Understand this, though. When Abraham was there on the altar, and there's Isaac, and he's about ready to do what God called him to do, God holds him back and says, listen, there's a ram. Realize that the provision that God gave was only on that one mountain. The provision of that ram that God gave as a substitute for Isaac was only on the one mountain that God told him to go to. And you might be going into a very fiery trial of your life thinking, I don't know why I'm going through this. And I want to give up and throw in the towel and say enough is enough. And God doesn't promise to keep us from hardship, but he promises to be with us in those hardships. Because everyone in life is going to go through hardships, whether you know him or you don't. What God is calling us to do is an accuracy in your obedience. And as you find, in the beginning, God created, the God who made everything is the same God that knows what you and I can handle, the same God that can give us the satisfaction and the needs that we have for every moment of life. If I'm willing to just obey. You're going to obey someone. You might say, I'm not obeying that person, but I'm going to obey what I want to do. You're going to follow someone. But the question to ask yourself is, who do I want to follow? Look with me at verse 3 of Genesis 22. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with me. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. What does he do? Abraham was accurate in his obedience. He obeyed into the precision. Followed details completely. Can I tell you, when I was there in the military, and we were going through combat training, it wasn't to question, it was when they give an order, you do it. And you do it right now. And I'm telling you, when we have a relationship with God, God gives us instructions in our lives. Not to be a tyrant up above, but to be someone to say, listen, there's danger. Or there's, I know this will be for your good. Can I tell you, when I left the military and I went to go train for the ministry, I didn't have a job. I was looking for a job, and I went from making really good money as an officer in the Air Force to making $8 an hour, working 4 at night till whenever the job was done, getting back up at 6 a.m., and then starting my studies at 7. I didn't know how I was going to afford it. When my wife and I got married, there was times we looked at our books, we looked at our finances, we said, we don't know how we're going to do it, but I know this is where we're supposed to be. Can I tell you, over and over and over again, without ever asking or saying anything to anyone, God would just provide. Sometimes I would get a buddy would call, hey, I got a second job for you, and I'm thinking, I'm so tired, I can't work a second job. I'm working full-time here, I'm taking care of my wife, I'm doing a ton of stuff at the church, and I'm like, I'm tired. But you know what God did? God gave me the strength to go work a second job to pay the bills. That ram was only on one mountain. You've got to do what God calls you to do. The test of satisfaction is, are you attentive? Are you affectionate? And are you accurate to follow? Now the question, here's another thing, the test of sufficiency. Look with me at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Notice with me what verse 8 is unbelievable. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That son followed his dad. Your actions reveal whether God is sufficient. And so often it is in our lives, God isn't doing fast enough what I want, so I've got to do it my way. And we end up making a mess out of our lives. Your answers, your discussions, how you talk, and all of this really reveals. And what you realize, there's a gentleman named George Mueller back in England years and years ago. He saw all these orphan kids there in England, and no one wanted them. And so he began to start these orphanages. And there were times where there was no food on the table. They'd run out of food, run out of finances. If you've never listened to his autobiography, it's an incredible autobiography of a man of prayer. But George Mueller, here they would. They'd be sitting there at their table, and the kids are like, where's the food? The other helpers and staff are like, where's the food? And they begin, Lord, thank you for this food. And you're like, I don't see any food. And just then a knock comes on the door. A milk truck has overturned, and there's crates and there's milk. And they're like, hey, we got to get rid of the milk right away. Boom, milk comes. A bread truck has problems. They need to get rid of the bread. Boom, bread comes. And over and over and over again, God would provide. Because the answer that God gives is, listen, would you get to know me and would you follow me? Mueller's prayer about the fog with the captain. I've got to get to my preaching engagement in America. And the captain says, well, it just can't happen. And Mueller says, okay, give me an hour. He goes up, he prays, Lord, thank you for taking the fog away. Sure enough, boom, the fog goes away and he makes his engagement. He says, I've got to, he says, God wants me there, I'm going to be there. God, and God removed the fog. We sometimes think of prayer as a slot machine. I'll put in enough coins, I'll put in enough prayer requests, and hopefully when I pull that lever, that boom, boom, it's all going to line up and it's going to be exactly the way I want it. But God doesn't work that way. God wants to say, listen, I want your heart more than anything else. Can I tell you, the heart of for my daughter, the greatest thing I want is I want her heart. Because someday when some man wants her heart, I want her, and I say, that guy's not good for you, and I tell her, he's not good for you, she'll say, okay, Daddy, because I've got her heart. I'm telling you, God wants our heart. Look with me at verse 9, Genesis 22. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know what? What you are inside is evidenced by how you behave when there's no fun in doing it. There's ever times you're like, oh, man, every day, I love going to work every day. You're thinking, no, I don't love going to work every day. When it's really cold out, when it's, you know, there's times I get up in the morning and the snow's there and I'm like, oh, I got to go shovel. Oh, yes, I get a shovel. No, I'm thinking, oh, man. I wish there'd come like this, like I don't know, tsunami or something and melt all the snow and go away and, you know, I don't know, whatever. Big old sun. I'm not happy sometimes with it. But I'm evidenced inside by how I behave. I hate this job. Right? You're sweeping or whatever you're doing. You're just all grumbling and mumbling and you're evidenced inside by how you behave when there's no fun in doing it. And Abraham just said, okay, Lord. Now, to his credit, Abraham's over 100 years old. He's 120-ish or more years old. And he's made a lot of pretty foolish mistakes earlier in his life. I mean, very foolish. You know what? When we get older, we kind of learn like, hey, I don't want to make those same mistakes again. It's probably not a wise decision to do that same thing again. It hurt the first time, I don't want to do it again. Or maybe the third time, I'm like, you know, some of us are a little slower than others. But there was an aggressive cooperation, and guess what God did? Abraham didn't look for the answer, he just followed what he was told to do. Now, again, Christianity is not open your head, throw out your brain. That's not what God calls us to do. He says, when I ask my daughter to do something, go feed the dogs. I want her to take her head out, you know, take her brain out and just like kind of, you know, like absentmindedly do it. No. I want her to do it because she's like, Daddy, I want to please you. And God's desire is that you and I, that we would please him. You know what? There's the greatest thing. As a young kid, I remember if I did something for my grandparents or I did something for my parents, and you hear those words, I'm proud of you. Man, that does something inside. You're just like, woohoo! When God is all I need, and that idea of being pleasing in his sight, it does something to you. You've done your part, and Abraham would come to that place to realize that God was all he needed. He says, okay, Lord. But you know what he said? He also said, I and the lad will return. Abraham already expected that he and Isaac, because God had already made a promise to Abraham that you, your son, will have a continuing heritage and you will have many grandchildren. And yet he goes up that mountain thinking, God, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to follow. Can I tell you, it was in 2013 that I heard about Thompson, Manitoba. I was there at a preacher's conference in Winkler, Manitoba, and heard about the need up here and for this particular church. And at the same time, my wife's uncle reached out to me and said, there's a church in Hawaii looking for a pastor. I didn't know what I was, everything that all that entailed up here, but one thing I knew is that God wanted us here. And I'm glad he brought us. What happens when you and I pass the test? Look with me at here, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That word Jehovah Jireh is the Lord our provider. And over and over and over again, in the life of my wife and I, we have seen God provide when financially it didn't make sense. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to pay the next bill, and something would happen. Sometimes her mom would send a big old box of goodies and all sorts of stuff that we could use, and other times there'd be coupons and other. I mean, our food budget when I was training for the ministry was $80 a month. That's all we had it for an entire month to spend on food. That's one bag of groceries now, but. But what happens when you pass that test? Guess what happens? I get to learn more about God. And Abraham would see the Lamb of God before the Ram of God. And God will give you something new to pass on. He says, you remember Isaac when God provided for us? What do you have that is worth passing on? Oh man, look at the commendation that God gives here in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. What does God say? He says, Abraham, I am so impressed with you. Abraham stayed at Beersheba, but he was never the same. God is all I need, God has all I need, and God is doing all I need done. I have to tell you, this is exciting. When we start there in the beginning of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. The very one who created everything didn't just start the process. He is actively involved in every process of life because he wants to know you and he wants us to know him. We were made relational. Why do you think it's so important, our relationships? Because God wants to know you. And we get to know God through someone very special, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to earth to die on the cross so that we could know him. He says, listen, you've blown it. You've messed everything up. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We do bad, sometimes people might use the word karma. You do bad, bad's coming to you. But understand this, every one of us have done bad. The wages of sin is death. But the Bible tells us, but the gift of God. A gift is something you don't deserve, something you can't earn. When I give a gift to my daughter, I don't do it because she's never done anything wrong. No, I give it because I love her. God gives us a gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we simply accept him by faith. God, I have blown it, I've messed up, and I need you and you alone. Please forgive me of all my sins and be my Savior. When I ask him to do that, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simple faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works,
Because the moment someone tries to give you a gift, and you say, hey, let me pay you for that, you're insulting them. To say, I want to pay you. I don't want to be paid. If I want to give you a gift, I'm going to give you a gift. I don't want to be paid for it. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God's desire for us is that through Jesus Christ, we'd just bow our heads and ask Him to forgive us and be your Savior. It was April 30th, 1986, that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I ask Him to forgive me of all my sins and be my Savior. We're going to come to a time of invitation. If you're not familiar with that this evening, what we do is we just, where you're seated, you just have a time to pray and talk with God quietly in your seat. And when you're done, we'll just conclude in prayer, and then we'll have a corporate prayer time if you're able to stay. And but just some things to think about this evening. Is God all you need? Telling you, when you get to know God, the thing in my life that fundamentally changed my relationship with God, I knew Him as my Savior, but it was in my university years. I was doing my engineering degree, and I had a guy in my dorm. He began to talk to me about journaling, and I began to write out my prayers. I was just early in the morning getting up, trying to go to classes. I began to write out my prayers. I'd forgotten I'd even prayed some of the stuff I prayed, and then I went back several months later, I went back and I began to read some of these prayers that I had written out. Just my heart, just flowing, just expressing my thoughts. And I realized some of the things I asked for, God specifically answered. I'd forgot I'd ever asked for Him. And at that moment, I realized, I said, listen, there's a God in heaven that cares for me more than for what I do for Him, but He actually cares for little me, and He cares for you. Is God all you need? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight is the night of salvation. And Christian, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know all the trials in your life, but one thing I know is that we all need Him. There's a song that's going to play, and while the song plays, feel free to pray and talk with the Lord, however He may have spoken to your heart this evening.